This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. It has been a century since scientists announced the discovery of the Piltdown Man, and only 60 years since the find was exposed to be a fraud. Here to talk about the centennial of the discovery of Piltdown Man is Robert Goodby, an archaeologist and associate professor at Franklin Pierce University. Great to have you with us, Robert.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, what a let's say a strange anniversary to be celebrating, but really a fascinating one. First, could you start describing the Piltdown Man? What did he look like?
Well, the Piltdown Man consisted of two pieces of bone, one partially fossilized that was the very large, modern-looking human cranium, and the second was an extraordinarily primitive ape-like jaw. Now, the two of them were found in a gravel pit in the village of Piltdown in Sussex, England, sort of rattling around with a lot of loose material. And the claim was made that they went together, that the jaw was that belonged to the cranium. And when you put them together, you had the ultimate missing link. You had something that was, on the one hand, very ape-like, on the other hand, with its big brain, looked like a modern human.
So being a missing link, it was a huge archaeological find, or at least purported to be.
Absolutely. You know, at this time, 1912, when the discovery is made, there is almost nothing in the way of a fossil record for human evolution. Now, science had accepted the idea that humans, like other animals, had evolved, but there was very little evidence to go on. And here you have a fossil that could wrap everything up. Now, there were a couple of problems with it. And one of them was that they didn't actually quite fit together because, as luck would have it, the little pivots or hinges on the top of the jaw, the condyles, were broken off, both of them. So the jaw could not be precisely fitted to the skull. And that was a problem for the get-go and raised some skepticism among some of the scientific community.
Well, and there was a reason for that. It didn't go.
It didn't go. Absolutely not. But it took another 40 years to really nail that down.
So what was the Piltdown Man actually in reality?
Well, the Piltdown Man in reality was an old human. And when I say human, I mean modern human, Homo sapiens, an old human cranium from an adult male with the mandible of a female orangutan.
Okay, so one of these things is not like the other.
Absolutely.
Well, did the revelation of a hoax come quickly? I know you said there were some suspicions, but what was the final indictment or evidence against the hoax?
Well, it did take a while. Now, initially with the discovery, there were quite a few skeptics, including some very prominent people like Sir Arthur Keith, who would go on to become one of the great defenders of Piltdown. But it was really after that a matter of accretion. And one of the nice things about science is that you're supposed to be able to replicate your findings. And after Piltdown had been discovered, there were decades of work done at the site to try and find additional remains led by Arthur Smith Woodward, who was one of the leading scientists supporting Piltdown. And none of them were forthcoming.
Well, let's see here. Who were the perpetrators here? Was that ever truly identified?
Well, there's been a lot of debate, a lot written about it. I don't think it's that big a controversy, and I don't think it's the most important part of the story. The most obvious perpetrator is the discoverer, a gentleman named Charles Dawson, who was a very respected amateur geologist and paleontologist. And yet after his career was over, turns out to have been the author of numerous fakes and frauds. And there were a lot of problems with many of his discoveries. A second possible culprit is Martin Hinton. And Hinton was Woodward's assistant at the British Museum and hated his boss. And after his death, actually in the 1970s, an old chest was found in the attic of the museum with Hinton's initials on it. And inside were a bunch of bones that had been stained and altered very much like the Piltdown fossil.
Oh, and so, I see a mystery novel coming out of this.
Absolutely, absolutely. So there are a couple of obvious culprits, and there are some lesser-known people, including Sir Arthur Conan Doyle has been mentioned as possibly involved in this. But I think those are your two leading culprits right there.
I'm speaking with the archaeologist and also associate professor at Franklin Pierce University, Robert Goodby about the Piltdown Man's legacy. This was discovered in 1912, 100 years ago, in a pile of gravel. I think they were digging for a new supermarket or suburb, mm-hmm. if I'm remembering correctly. It was actually a great scientific hoax. And that's the question, Robert. You know, this was at a time in the early 20th century when Charles Darwin's theories were still fairly new, were being tested, embraced by men of science, as they say. Did this set back the cause or the theory of evolution for those who were studying it and dubious of it in the first place?
I don't really think it had that effect. It certainly set back the study of human evolution and led us down a blind alley for a number of decades. And that, I think, was where the real damage occurred. The fact that this fraud was perpetrated, I think, doesn't affect in any way the validity of the idea of evolution. So it was also, and you have to sort of put it in the context of the time, there was almost nothing to compare it to. There was no fossil record for human evolution mm-hmm. at this point.
Especially not in Northern Europe.
There was almost nothing. There had actually been in 1856 a skull discovered in the Neander Valley in Germany, mm-hmm. which gives rise to the name Neanderthals. But even that skull was examined by German scientists, and they went with what they knew. They looked at its odd shape and its sloping forehead and its very primitive nature and concluded it was probably a Frenchman, and actually said that this was one of the soldiers from the Napoleonic Wars who had died in Germany and wasn't recognized as an important hominid ancestor for decades.
Well, when you hear about or read about those bad guesses, are you so convinced that we're doing it right now? I mean, they were convinced at one point, weren't they?
No, they were. And that's the way science works, and that's, I think, the great triumph in this story, is that this fraud did not stand. They were unable to find more of these in England, and meanwhile, Africa, as Darwin had predicted, Africa began producing all sorts of fossils that seemed to reflect early human evolution. And eventually, by the early 1950s, they said, let's take another closer look at this Piltdown thing. Then when they did, oh my goodness, you put it under magnification, you can actually see the file marks on the teeth, because the teeth had to be filed to make it all fit together. You can see where the chemicals have stained the jaw to make it look older. And so that was discarded. And we moved on to other ideas. And for the most part, those have stood the test of time.
Well, so it wouldn't be so easy to pull off such a hoax today.
I think it would be much more difficult because there is that context to compare things to.
When you teach the Piltdown Man today, are you looking at it as history? Or are you teaching it to your students as history or maybe a cautionary tale for students of archaeology?
I think both of those, and also an example of how science should work and should not work. And the history is interesting because the late Stephen Jay Gould once said that the important thing about science is that it's done by human beings and not by robots. And that's true. But being humans, we bring biases, assumptions, our own folly into the study of this. And at the time, there were two ideas that were really important in the study of human evolution. One was the so-called big brain theory. In comparing human beings to apes, the most obvious thing that separated us was our social intelligence, our language, our tool use, our large brain. And so scientists concluded that the first change on the route to becoming human was the development of a large brain. And so the search was on for a big-brained ape-like ancestor. Well, it turns out that's completely wrong. The first change was beginning to walk upright, and the big brain develops much more slowly over time. The second thing, and again going back to Darwin, was the idea of African origins. Darwin accurately predicted that's where we came from, but early evolutionary thought was very, white supremacist. And the idea that humans came from Africa was hard to swallow, and that made Piltdown all the more seductive.
Robert Goodby, I want to sign up for your class. Fascinating talking with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Robert Goodby, Associate Professor at Franklin Pierce University and an archaeologist. We do have a link to a picture of Piltdown Man at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.